On any given night in the U.S., there are more than 600,000 people who are homeless. In San Francisco, the government estimates there are about 6,400 people living on the street or in shelters. The numbers have increased only slightly over the past few years, but with the current lack of housing in the city, many are wondering if the problem's going to get worse. I sat down with Bevan Dufty from the mayor's office. Dufty is the director of the Housing Opportunity Partnerships and Engagement, or HOPE. I asked him what San Francisco has been doing for the homeless population.
Over the past 2 years, we've added $1 million each year to improve our shelters, to provide more resources for staff and case managers, deeper cleanings, other things that will make that experience better. And yes, there are many people that for reasons, and some of them good reasons, have chosen not to stay in shelters. We have 1,145 shelter beds in San Francisco, and they are consistently running at 96% to 98% full. 10 years ago, when Mayor Newsom and Angela Alioto led the 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness, we had 1,900 shelter beds. And so I think if you look at the science of ending homelessness, a determination has been made that we should move more towards permanent housing.
And you mentioned this, the report by Harvey Rose, the budget and legislative analyst for the Board of Supervisors, and it found that San Francisco spends $165 million in homeless services each year.
And for people that are no longer homeless.
But the thing I wanted to ask you about is in that report, it sort of said these numbers haven't changed much since 2005. And
yes,
it feels like we're doing so much. You talked about that 10-year plan of Gavin Newsom and Angela Alioto. So from your perspective, what is changing?
Well, I think we're at a tipping point right now. I think that people in San Francisco recognize that the city is doing very well and that this, to credit the mayor and our technology sector in San Francisco, we have the highest job growth of any city in the United States. So clearly that is generating an economic boost in San Francisco. And I think that everyone is looking at how do we invest some of that dividend to really bring down homelessness. It's true. The most dramatic restructuring of our homeless numbers took place in the early 2000s when we had the implementation of Care Not Cash and the Chronic Homeless Plan. And despite a very significant recession that really hurt the city over several years, we had a goal of developing 3,000 new units of permanent supportive housing. And by July, we will have developed 2,800. So I think we really have met that goal.
How much, you mentioned the tech boom, right? It seems like a potential solution, but it also seems like it's exacerbating the housing crunch, which is very likely to then increase the number of people who get evicted or just can't afford their apartment anymore. What do you see as that balance sheet of kind of the tech boom as possible solutions, creating these apps and this ability maybe for people to access services, but also creating this even more acute housing crisis?
Yeah. I can say that I had unrealistic expectations. I was somebody that supported the payroll tax reduction, and I think that I didn't fully understand what does this technology boom mean. Yes, there are companies like Twitter that have branded a significant number of millionaires in their company, and they're figuring out what their role is going to be. But there are a lot of other companies that are really trying to make it, and the investments that they have from their backers and investors are really about the companies becoming public. They're not as interested in those companies developing a footprint in terms of philanthropy. So you have companies like Salesforce. I say all praise to Mark and Lynn Benioff. They have had a dramatic effect on changing homelessness for families in San Francisco. And I look at a company like Zendesk that really has gone above and beyond in some of their work. And Link SF, you know, that I think is an example of what it is. But I think that somehow at times I've had an unrealistic expectation of it. And now
what the tech boom could represent.
And also, I was very frustrated because I saw a lot of these companies not hiring Black and Latino people. I've been very outspoken about that. And I've gone and seen at these companies. I mean, they're like snowstorms sometimes, and it's amazing to me. But more often than not, I'm starting to see some things that are working. And so a young woman, Rose Broom, started something, HandUp.us. And it's an app that you can put on your phone, and it's basically crowdfunding for people that are homeless. And I can tell you, I have gotten people on that, and I've gotten them directly out of homelessness. It's just you bypass the system sometimes, and you say, you know what? Here's this gentleman, Marvin Boykins, who was written up in the Chronicle because he was displaced as a chess player, and there was a lot of controversy around it. And this story appeared in the Chronicle, and Marvin was very open about his homelessness, and 2 days later, I got emails from two gentlemen that had gone to Lowell High School with Marvin, and they felt awkward about approaching him. They wanted to help. They didn't know how would he react. It turned out his 40th high school anniversary was coming up, reunion was coming up in about 6 weeks, and I went through Hand Up, and a bunch of his Lowell classmates donated money, and he was able to become housed.
So if, you know, we're spending $165 million on homeless services every year, if you could spend as much as you needed, what would you do?
Well, there's a group of homeless family agencies that I believe are proposing about $5 million in augmentation for family services, and they believe they can get the waiting list, which is right now at 175 families, down to zero. But I, you know, what I would like to see is there are some vacant SROs in San Francisco, and I think that we just need to start going and tying up some of these buildings, because ultimately it costs about $18,000 a year to mitigate the effects of someone living on the street. By the time you pay for police and street cleaning and ER visits and all the things, jail and stuff that people encounter by trying to live on the streets. And so I just think that more and more people want to see people housed. I really haven't had that much pushback. I mean, when I go out and speak to people, I think people are ready to do that. And last week when we had the supplemental, every member of the Board of Supervisors spoke about it. They spoke about what their concerns were. And that's something. I mean, I'm so grateful that you want to talk to me, or that people want to listen and go look at Hand Up and just figure out maybe you give a dollar every day to somebody on your block and you kind of see them as having a support system and get them connected to Hand Up. And maybe that support system in your neighborhood will help that person be housed.